is a special day to gather together and to worship God. And that's because it's the Lord's Day. And that's why we're here, to worship and to remember our Savior and the sacrifice He made, to study God's Word together. And we're just so thankful that all of us could be here today. A few things before we get started here. Just want to remind everyone, in a couple weeks we have Sermon and Song coming up. It will be our first of the year, and that's always a good, uplifting service. And so we just want to remember that, and there'll be also a potluck following that at Athens Bible School. We also just want to remind everyone, and I said I'm going to try to do it every Sunday, don't forget to keep reading your booklets, How to Serve One Another. Our year is on serving one another, and most importantly, serving God. And we have quite a few things in that booklet for daily and monthly objectives and different things like that. And so make sure to keep that handy, keep it by your side. Something new we started this last week is an email for the entire congregation. If your email is in our directory, you were put on this list. If your email's not, I tried to find your email and get you on the list. And if you didn't get this email, come to me and let me know. And we'll get you on the list or make sure I have your email correct. But this is just another way. Once a week, we'll send out an email with different news, announcements, updates, prayer requests, different things like that, just to keep everyone together. I think it will be another way we can serve one another. We can all stay connected with one another. And so come to me if you, again, want to receive that. This morning, we're going to look at living a life of service. And as we start this year, it's hard to believe that we're already on our third Sunday this year. We're halfway through, seems like we're halfway through spring, doesn't it, with the weather out there. But we're halfway through January, and we've talked a lot about the service we should have for one another from Galatians chapter 5. This morning, we're going to take a look at Jesus' life and what it means to live the life of a servant. Not just play the part of a servant, but to live the life, living a life of service. You know, there are. It's said that there are three things you could do with money. And I want us to think for just a moment. Three things you can do with money are waste it. There's a lot of things we can waste our money on, right? Sometimes you drive by these houses and they've got thousands and thousands and thousands. I think I saw a house for sale one time in California, and it was, I think, 8,400 square feet. I thought, what can you do with 8,400 square feet, right? That's a lot of space. And there's different things that I feel like might be a waste of money. Maybe y'all don't feel, you know, some of the things I feel are a waste of money. But we all know that there are just things in life where you just waste your money on. And you kind of, as soon as you buy it, you know, maybe that wasn't a good purchase. And then I just wasted that money. It's money I'll never see again. And then there's the second thing you can do with money, as we get an echo there, is spend it. We all spend money, and that's the easy thing to do with money. Now, sometimes the spending we do goes into the wasteful category as well, and sometimes those are very closely related. But the third thing we can do is invest it, and that is you put some away. And slowly but surely, through the course of your life, through all the years, as you invest more and more, by the end of your life, you have a nice little nest egg that you can maybe retire on, or at least go down to part-time and do something maybe you enjoy instead of working all day every day. And we understand those three things when it comes to money. You can waste it, spend it, or invest it. But I also want to bring something up, and this is the concept we're going to look at this morning. There are three things that we can do with our life. And that is, you can waste it, you could spend it, or you can invest it. And what I mean by that is, we can waste our lives on so many different things. We can waste our lives by not spending time on the proper things, that like we looked at in Galatians chapter 5 last week. We can waste our lives with the lusts of the flesh. We can waste our lives by never giving our lives to God in the first place. But then you can spend your life. And there's many different ways we can spend our lives. We can spend our lives living in the fast lane, never taking a moment, never taking a break to realize God's blessings in our lives. We can spend our lives never taking time to better our relationships, whether that's with God or with other people. We can spend our lives living in sin. We can spend our lives working for the worldly pleasures of the world and get so distracted spending our lives working that we fail to forget the eternal future we have. We could spend our lives worrying and envying other people. And we could spend our lives living in jealousy and anger towards other people. We could spend our lives excluding other people. There's so many different ways that we could spend our lives. And what I hope that we see is most of those things, when we spend our lives doing that, we end up wasting the life that we've been given. Just like money. However, I think someone who is smart, just like in the financial world, someone who is smart can invest their lives into something that will last for all eternity. And they could spend their lives living a life in service to God and invest their lives into a sacrificial life and a life of service to spend eternity with God our Father. And when we live a life for God now, we are investing in an eternal future. Now, I'm not saying that the good deeds we're doing in this life are we're stacking up a bank account, and whenever we do something bad like a sin, well, we withdraw from that bank account, and God's going to check our bank account at the end of our lives and say, well, yeah, you've done this much compared to this much, and okay, yeah, you can come to heaven. That's not what I'm saying at all. This is just an illustration to get us to think about what our lives look like. And are we investing in our eternal future, or are we wasting the life and spending our life on things that don't matter? And this is really what our year is all about. A life of service to God. And how to live a life of service that's being invested in our spiritual and eternal future. And I don't think there's a person better to look at on how he invested his life than our Savior Jesus Christ. And let's not forget that he was a man. As we looked at this morning in Philippians chapter 2, both Jared and Jonathan read these verses. He gave up heaven to come down here and live as a man. And if he came down here to live as a man, then he gave us an example of a life that is worth looking at. And what we should do is look at the life of service that Jesus gave while he was here on this earth. And what I want us to think about as we go through this, you start looking at Jesus' life of service. This wasn't just a 3-year ministry that started when he was 30 years old. But it was in Luke chapter 2, we see, I think, that service began when he was dedicated to God. His parents took him to the temple to be dedicated to God in Luke chapter 2, because as the law says, each firstborn baby boy belonged to the Lord. And it was something that his parents set a precedence in at the very beginning, that this he was dedicated to the Lord. And no doubt they told him about that day that they took him to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord, that they saw Anna and Simeon at the temple who had great things to say about him. No doubt his parents told him about the service that he would give in the Lord's kingdom and who he was as the Son of God. And I think that's evident because at the age of 12, you see that little boy Jesus, teaching other people, teaching the scribes, teaching the scholars, teaching much smarter people than himself, but he was about his father's business, teaching, at 12 years old. Man, at 12 years old, I was still taking the bulletin and filling in all the bubbles and the letters during the sermon because I didn't like the preacher. At 12 years old, I was still trying to not laugh out loud when my brother and I would poke each other and do things in the pew. At 12 years old, I was trying to stay awake in Bible class. But at 12 years old, Jesus was teaching people that were should have been much smarter than him. But he said, I had to be about my father's business. Did you not know I would be about my father's business? I don't know what happened in the 18 years or about the 18 years between age 12 and most people say about age 30 is when he started his ministry. That's kind of the widely accepted age range there. And we don't have anything on about those 18 years. But something's telling me if a 12-year-old boy is teaching, he didn't stop. And he didn't stop until his ministry. I don't think he got to the age 30 and said, well, now it's time to pick up what my Heavenly Father wants me to do. I think there was something going on in those 18 years. And again, I can't speculate, but I still think he was serving God and living a life for God. And it was about those 18 years until his ministry started. And then what he started to do around age 30 is he began his ministry, which we have recorded in all the Gospels. And what we see him doing there is we see him not only serving God, but he was serving God's people every single day. We see him praying regularly. We see him worshiping God. We see him reading scriptures in the synagogues. We see him healing the sick, the lame, and the blind. He was casting out demons. He taught others about God. He traveled all over the ancient world trying to talk to other people about salvation and their relationship with God. And he fed the hungry. He loved the unlovable. He faced Satan and he won by staying true to the Word of God. He taught his apostles what it meant to serve and humble themselves. And what you see as you look through the Gospels is you see someone who just completely gave his life to the service of God's kingdom. And we could say, well, of course, that's easy for him to do. He was the Son of God. He knew better. He had maybe some insight that you and I don't have. And so, of course, it was easy for him to give his life in service. But as I said at the very beginning, let's not forget or underestimate the power of the flesh. And what I mean by that is Jesus was man. And Jesus lived on this earth just like you and I are living on this earth. Jesus faced temptations just like you and I face temptations on a daily basis. And yet he was able to give his life in complete service to God. And most importantly, when his time had come, he took the ultimate act of service to the cross. He gave up his own life for the ones that he loved the most, and that's you and me. I had you turn to Romans chapter 5. Start reading with me in verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." You know, we love to focus on that the first couple verses there. Especially verse 8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But I love what is said in verse 10. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Paul's telling us it's when we were enemies. When we were living our lives of sin. When we were giving in to temptations that we shouldn't have been giving into, it was Jesus that continued to serve and give his life for us. It's while we were rejecting God that Jesus decided to follow God's will and give his own life for us. If you want to talk about service, serving people who don't want to be served is one of the hardest things we could do. And so what we do is we just decide, well, we're not going to serve those people. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, the tax collectors can greet their own. Well, yeah, because we like people that we like. I mean, that's just a common thing, right? If I love you and if I like you and you're a friend of mine, well, it's easier to serve you. Think of it this way here. Let's say brother or sister so-and-so is struggling, maybe with health, and they need some meals. Have you ever noticed, and there's a reason I said so-and-so, because I don't want anyone to start thinking that we're playing favorites here. So I don't know who so-and-so is, but have you ever noticed, and this is true in almost any congregation I've been a part of, we sit down in a group meeting, or we sit down in a group, and we say, brother or sister so-and-so is sick, and they're in the hospital, and the family needs meals. Now there are certain brother and sister so-and-sos that you will get every hand up in the room that says, I'll take a meal. I'll deliver it. I'll help. What can I do? And many times, we have so many meals for brother and sister so-and-so that we don't know what to do with it. So we have to divide up. Okay, well, I'll do this part of the meal. You do this part. We'll all go together and we'll deliver it. Why? Because, well, we love them. Well, then, on the other side, they said, well, brother and sister, this other brother and sister so-and-so, they're also in the hospital and they need a meal. And it's always like, okay, well, who's going to take food to them? Okay, yeah, I guess I'll do it. I mean, if no one else is going to volunteer, maybe I guess I will. And that's just one example that I've seen just in the church. Why? Because it's easy to serve people that we like, and it's easy to serve people we love or we have relationships with. But what we see in the life of Jesus, and what we see in the life of Christ, and what Paul's trying to demonstrate here is, it's while we were enemies with Him, when we didn't deserve to be served, that's exactly what He did. He took His own life to the cross so that you and I can be reconciled. And He says, if we've been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. But not only that, we should also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know, I look at this life of service. Now, that's 5 bullet points on the life of Jesus. It would take us months and months, if not years, to go through every individual act of service that Jesus did during His ministry or during the time on the cross and even after the cross, or how Jesus is still serving us. It would take us, y'all would get mad at me because we'd be here all morning and beyond talking about the service that Jesus gave. But if there's one thing I see in the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus, and in the service of Jesus, and if we're going to model ourselves after Him, it's that Jesus didn't just serve God for 3 years during His ministry, but Jesus' entire life was about service to God and God's people. And this is who Jesus was. It was not a part He played. It was not an act that he was giving. This is not something He did for everyone to see because He wanted people to see the service He was doing for us. He didn't pose for nicely taken pictures as He went from place to place so we can post them on Facebook and say, look at all the wonderful things I'm doing in Capernaum. Look at all the wonderful things. Look at all these people I just healed. Everyone, let's take a selfie because I want everyone to see what I've just done. He didn't arrange His Bible all nice and neat, sitting next to the coffee and breakfast so we can show everyone, I've done my reading for today. Now, I'm not saying those things are necessarily bad things to do. But I'm saying when we look at the life of service that Jesus gave, Jesus' focus was on one thing. And that was on loving and serving God. And because that was His focus of loving and serving God, His focus became on God's people. Jesus simply lived a life of service to God. And everything Jesus did was in service to God and God's people. It was never about Jesus. This was not the Jesus show. It was simply Jesus trying to do the will of His Father. And what can we learn from Jesus? How do we live a full life of service? How do we not just waste this life or spend this life doing the things of the world, but how do we invest ourselves in this life to make sure when eternity comes, I could say I have served God and served His people to the best of my ability? I think what we can learn from Jesus is 3 things. Well, really, we can learn more than 3 things from Jesus. But in terms of this, I think it comes down to 3 things. One, we need to understand that our life, our living a life of service, is a lifelong commitment. Jesus was 12 years old when He was caught teaching people about God. And if He's doing that at 12 years old, like I already said, something tells me the years before, Joseph and Mary were doing something about trying to teach Him about God. I think Jesus, before the age of 12, was learning about God, still serving God, maybe growing in His faith. In fact, Luke chapter 2 tells us that He was continually growing in favor and with God and with men. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph made it a priority to teach Jesus about who He was and about the service He would give in God's kingdom. And as a young boy, Jesus was already starting His service to God. And it wasn't something that He started later in life at the age of 30, but this was what Jesus' life was. You know, sadly, and maybe young people, this is more for you all. You hear so many people give excuses to not serve God in their youth. People will say, I'm going to serve God better when I'm done with high school. When I'm in high school, I have to deal with things that you really don't deal with the rest of your life. And so when I'm out of high school, that's when I can maybe serve God better. Well, that's completely false. I'll tell you, the things that we deal with in high school, that's just the tip of the iceberg compared to the rest of life. Or you'll hear people say, you know, when I get out of college, I can serve God better. I'm trying to focus on school right now. And I'm trying to focus on getting a degree and trying to set my life up for success. And so I could serve God better when I'm out of school. Or you know what? Maybe I'm out of school, but when I get married, that's when I'll start taking God more seriously, because then I'll have a wife that depends on me. And maybe when I have children, I'll take it more seriously, because I'll need to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so what we start doing is, in our youth, we start making excuses, pushing back our service to say, well, when this happens in life, that's when I can maybe give a little bit more to God. But if we're not careful, what's going to happen is we're going to drift through life wasting it, just like we can waste our money, like I said at the beginning, and we can waste our life with excuses on why I can or cannot serve God at this time. What if Jesus said, my time for my ministry is about 30 years old. That's when I'll serve God. Jesus would never say that. But yet, how come we think we could say it as well? Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive and dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I love what he says here, because he says, you know, we have been made alive from the dead. That is, as we read in Romans chapter 5, we were enemies of God. We were dead in sin, as we read about in Romans chapter 6. And because we were dead in sin, it's Jesus that made us alive again. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. He has to tell the Romans that. You need to present yourself to God like you've been made alive. If we've been made alive from the dead, how many of us would want to go back to being dead? Well, probably none of us. And what Jesus is saying is, you were dead. You were enemies. You were living lives of sin. But I made you alive. Now don't go back to being dead. That is, if you're going to give your life to me, give me the whole life. Present yourself as someone being alive from the dead. This is a lifelong commitment that Jesus expects. That we have to give ourselves completely to God. We looked at last week, we can't keep one foot in the ways of the world and the ways of the flesh, and one foot in the ways of the kingdom of God. We either pick the fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit, we talked about last week. And it starts when we make the decision to have our sins washed away. When we have made the choice to give up the things of our sinful past. You know, I think it's interesting, we teach kids, and this is something that was always taught to me. We teach kids to look for lifelong partners to marry. I was told once about marriage, find someone who takes God seriously now. If a person can't fully commit themselves to a lifelong service to God, what makes you think they will fully commit themselves to lifelong service to you? And it's something we need to think about. If we can't commit to God for lifelong service, the creator of this universe, our almighty heavenly Father, if we can't commit to lifelong service to Him, what makes us think we can commit to lifelong service to a spouse? Or to serving our children? Or any other act of service that we have in this world? And we teach our young people to look for lifelong partners to marry. Marriage is until death do us part, we say. And what we understand about marriage based on the scriptures is, marriage is service to one another. Husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. Well, what do you think that love was but service to the church? He took Himself to the cross to die for us. And wives are to submit to their husbands. What do you think that is but service? Not in like you're a butler or a maid kind of way, but that we serve one another just as Christ served this church. And that's a lifelong commitment. That's exactly what we see in Christ. But what we also see is living a life of service, it gives your life purpose. Turn with me to the book of John. In John chapter 4, we're going to look at two places in the book of John very quickly. But in John chapter 4, notice Jesus is starting to set a precedence here. And in verse 34, Jesus says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." He told His followers, "My food," they were worried about Him not eating. He says, "My job is to do the will of Him who sent me." Now, if you skip to chapter 6 and verse 38, chapter 6 and verse 38, after food is brought back up again, in the first part of chapter 6, you have Jesus feeding the 5,000 with bread and with fish. We're going to go over that tonight in our Peter class. And then you have people looking for Jesus, wanting more food, about halfway through the chapter in verse 22. And Jesus is trying to tell them, "The food that I bring to you is something that you will never be hungry again. I am the bread of life," He says. But notice what He says in verse 38. "For a second time," He says, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Jesus is making it very clear what His purpose is. My purpose is, yes, to serve God and to serve you, but my purpose, the purpose of His life, was to do the will of His Father. How many of us can say that about our life? What's the purpose of your life? Most of us would explain that or answer that question with, "Well, my purpose is, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, or I'm a wife, and I'm a mom, and so my purpose is to raise kids, or my purpose is provide for my family. My purpose is," and we'll fill in that blank with all these other things, but how many of us would say, "My purpose is to do the will of my Father in heaven"? Now the question is, what is that will? In verse 39 of that same chapter, it says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus came here for a purpose, and that purpose was to save the Father's children, to serve. And He wanted everyone to believe and have everlasting life. What's your purpose? What's my purpose? A lot of people find their purpose in the things of the world. You'll hear people say, "I was meant to play football. I was meant to cook. I was meant to," and then fill in the blank. And there's all these different things to say, "This is what I'm here for. This is what my life is all about." But look at what is said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Paul says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He says his life was about testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing in this life does he hold dear to himself except for testifying in the gospel. Paul's purpose was to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Serving God gives our life purpose. It was once said, and this is just an anonymous quote, I don't know who said it, but it says, "My life is worthless unless I work for Christ." And I wonder how many of us can say that about the purpose that we have in serving God and serving God's people. And lastly, as we finish up this morning, living a life of service gives you the meaning of life. We're always trying to search for the meaning of life. Everyone wants to know what the purpose of life is, or what the meaning of all this is. The Ecclesiastes writer tried to say that. He tried to find the meaning of life, because he looked at life and everything was vanity. Everything was meaningless. And there was nothing to this life but a bunch of endless cycles. And so he searched for the meaning in everything. And he tried to find the meaning in people and in spouses and in sexual pleasures and in the things of this world, like having slaves and servants and animals and crops and all these things. And he, at the very end of it, said, "It's all vanity." So what is the meaning of life? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he gives us that meaning. Ecclesiastes chapters 12 and verse 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all." For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is man's all. The International Standard Version would translate that as, for this is what it means to be human. That is, if we are human and we are living on this earth, the meaning of this life is to fear God, keep His commandments. And Jesus understood what this life was all about. Jesus was about serving God and serving others. That's what gave His life purpose. It's what gave His life meaning. If that doesn't sound fun, or if that doesn't sound exciting, then we might need to rethink what it means to be a Christian. And if we're sitting here this morning bored or not wanting to pay attention to what's said because maybe you don't like the preacher or you don't like the theme this year, you don't like the color of the new bulletin or whatever it is, then quite frankly, sometimes we need to get over ourselves because this life is not about ourselves. This life is not about Kevin. This life is not about you as an individual. This life is about one thing, serving God. And when we can fear God and keep His commandments, that is what it means to be human. This is man's all. And when you look at the life of Christ, you look at somebody who His life was completely, Jesus' all was about serving God and serving others. It was never on Himself. Quite frankly, sometimes I think we just need to get over ourselves. We need to get over the petty little differences. We need to get over who we think we are, because in the grand scheme of things, we are nothing compared to our Almighty God. But living this life of service, just as Jesus lived, because He never asked us to do anything He wasn't willing to do Himself, this is what gives us meaning in life. And if serving God and serving God's people, even maybe our enemies and the people we don't get along with or don't like very much, if that doesn't sound fun, exciting, or meaningful to us, then we have completely misunderstood what it means to be a follower of Christ. As Jonathan said this morning, Jesus, He emptied Himself. When you think about that, I mean, He gave everything. Because that was the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was to save you and me. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That is, we have to put our own wants and desires, we have to put ourselves behind us, because this world is not about us. I love what the Living Bible translation, now not all translations in this Bible, in my opinion, are quite up to par with what should be there, but in the Living Translation, the Living Bible translation, that verse says this. It says, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. That is, if you want to know what it means to really live, it means giving up our lives. Throw it away. Don't waste it, but invest it. Put our lives in what God wants us to really do, and that's to live for Him and follow the will of God just as He did. So here's my question. What are you going to do with your life? There's three different things we can do with our life. We can waste it. And you might be sitting here this morning think that this was a waste of time. And if that's the case, I feel sorry for you. You might think that serving God and serving others is a waste of time. You might think that certain people are a waste of your time. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to spend it on all the things that this world has to offer? Spend it on the vanity and the nothingness of this world, as the Ecclesiastes writer put it? Or are we going to invest it? And while we're here, while we're living, while we're human, are we going to fear God and keep His commandments? That is, serve God and serve other people. It starts by making a lifelong commitment to Him. Not just being buried in the waters of baptism, but raising up in newness of life and living that new life for the rest of your life so that we could spend eternity with God in heaven. Jesus' life was about service, but it was about serving God and serving those who love God and even serving those that despise God. Jesus came for everybody in this world. I want to read to you one last verse and then we'll be done for this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all die. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." He died for all. And Paul's opinion, and I don't think it's just an opinion, I think this should be fact, that those who live, that's you and I. And I want everyone to listen to this because I think this is the most important part. Those who live, you and I, should no longer live for themselves. I want each one of us today, myself included, to make the pledge right now to no longer live for ourselves. Why? Because that's what God expects. We should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. That's what this life is all about. That's what living a life of service is. To know that this life is not about myself. This life is about living for Him who died for all. Is that how you're going to spend your life? I hope it's how we all get to spend it so we could spend eternity in heaven together. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe some of these concepts are hard to grasp because let's face it, we are people all about ourselves. I'm only concerned with one person, and that's myself. But this life is not about ourselves. It's about giving our lives to the One who gave His. That is being buried in the waters of baptism. We have some ready right here. And know this, you will never be perfect enough to receive the salvation that the Lord offers. You and I will never be perfect enough. But yet He still offers it. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because we were enemies with Him is when He came here and gave His life for all. Do you need to make that decision? Make that investment. Make that choice today so that we could spend our eternity and our eternal future in heaven together as brothers and sisters in Christ, serving God for all eternity. Make that decision now as we stand and as we sing.